Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. Truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. For this homily, I could go on and talk about all the different prophecies that Jesus had fulfilled, the many, many prophecies he had fulfilled. I could talk about how Jesus is the new Passover lamb whose bones were not broken on the cross, just like the Passover lambs in Exodus. Or I could talk about how Jesus is like the new Adam. And just as Adam fell asleep when God brought about Eve from the side, so too Jesus was asleep on the cross. And from his side came forth blood and water, representing baptism and the Eucharist, and also the new Eve, church. While these prophecies are amazing and wonderful, there is something as important, if not more important, he wants to fulfill. Throughout the scriptures and over salvation history, God has been planting the seeds of his prophecies, beginning with the book of Genesis, when he promises to send a seed of a woman who crushed the serpent's head. Or in Deuteronomy, where God promises to send a prophet like Moses. Or in the book of Samuel, where God prophesies that the throne of David shall last forever. See, what the Jewish people would do in response to the word of God was that they would soak in these scriptures so that it became like honey to their mouth. When Jeff Cavins was here for the God Squad conference, he talked about something very interesting that the rabbis would do for their students. After the student would memorize a piece of scripture, the rabbis would have like this piece of rock with honey on it and allow the student to lick the rock with the honey. In a way, what he was trying to do was to associate the memorization of scripture, the love of scripture, with the sweet taste of honey. And it almost fulfills what Psalm 119 says. How sweet are thy words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. So the Jewish educational culture was emphasizing what God was trying to emphasize, a love for the scriptures, the prophecies. See, this is the main point. The people of Israel were being trained in their desires and in their hopes. When the early Christians, who were the Jews, saw how Jesus fulfilled the scriptures, Jesus did not just fulfill some old myth. He was the fulfillment of something more. Jesus was not just the fulfillment of prophecy. He was also the fulfillment their desires. For the early Christians, Jesus was fulfillment of both. For us, when we hear that Jesus is the new Passover lamb, it could be very tempting, and even for me as a theologian and someone who studies it, to be like, oh, wow, that's cool. That's a nice idea. Or are we more like the early Christians? When they heard that Jesus was the new Passover lamb, they saw in Jesus the fulfillment of all their desires. They longed to eat the flesh of this new lamb. They longed for freedom from exile, for freedom to live in the new Jerusalem, free from all sin and death, where every tear will be wiped away, and we shall behold the glory of God. But the church, in her wisdom, just like the Jewish educational culture, is also educating us in our desires. Unfortunately, the church doesn't give us rocks with honey, but what the church does is she teaches us to fast. See, the reason why we fast before Mass or why we fast during Lent is that the church wants to train us in our hungers and our desires. When we wake up in the morning, we don't naturally wake up and be like, oh, I long for the wedding feast of the Lamb. When I wake up, I want bacon and donuts, right? See, what fasting does is that it makes us recognize our hunger. It takes our natural hunger and unites it with our spiritual hunger. That's why we got to fast and pray. If we just fast, that's just dieting. But if we fast and pray, we unite our natural hunger with our spiritual hunger. And in our bodies, when we feel that hunger, we recognize, okay, I hunger for food, but I actually desire something greater. I desire the wedding feast of the Lamb. I desire God. And so what it does, it directs our hunger to heaven, and it directs it to the one who is the fulfillment of our desires. Truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of the letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. So today we want to ask ourselves, is Jesus just the fulfillment of prophecy, or is he also the fulfillment of all our desires?